Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. First verse that we'll look at this evening will be verse 33. Acts chapter 10. Appreciate the opportunity to speak before you again this evening, and I hope this lesson will be of benefit to us all. In Acts chapter 10, we see the example of the conversion of Cornelius. And we see the attitude that we should have when we are looking at any spiritual matter. Peter was called to come to Cornelius, and this is what was said in verse 33. "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." We should be ready to hear and listen. Many times we don't take the time to hear what God is really saying and are too quick to speak. This is when we usually get ourselves into trouble. This is when we not only become fools, but we may sound like a fool. Proverbs 15 and verse 2 says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." We need to take time before we speak on things. We need to make sure what is being said is the truth, and it's being said in the best way possible. Proverbs 25 and verse 28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Controlling ourselves is something that God expects us to do. Many times we give excuses for losing control in certain situations. People around us, even including our own families, may try to reason with us, but continue to make excuses for our actions. We continue to act in certain ways based on emotions rather than thinking and having fear of our Lord and what He expects us to do. When we lose control, for whatever reason we may think is legitimate, we have still allowed ourselves to be deceived and to fall into the snare of the devil. Let us not deceive ourselves, but rather do things that are pleasing to our Lord. So do we really think before we speak? Let us remember the example of Jephthah. Please turn to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. A little bit of a long text here, but we're going to read through it. Beginning in verse 29. Judges 11, beginning in verse 29. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I'll offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer, even till thou comest to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. The children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. Forasmuch as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done of me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go down upon the mountains, and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions, and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. So we see the example, from this example, the importance of thinking before we speak and the importance of a vow before God. Once a vow was made, it shouldn't be broken. So if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23, beginning in verse 21, says, "When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth." Also, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 4, says, When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? A commitment or a vow is not to be broken. But at the same time, it is not impossible for it not to be broken. Let us remember a phrase that we see throughout scriptures a lot. Let not. Let not does mean that it is impossible. Let not does not mean cannot. Let's look at an example that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 regarding marriage and divorce. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 4. "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." We see here what God bound together, that man was not to separate, but was not impossible to separate. Man still could separate this. This shows a clear distinction between God's part, the binding and loosing, and man's part, marriage and divorce. There will be consequences for breaking God's law. There are consequences for our words. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Let us remember that we are known by our fruit and by what we say. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 34. Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." This alone should make us stop and think before we speak, and be very careful what and how we say things. Even if we are speaking the truth, it must be done with love. Ephesians 4, verse 15. So do we understand the danger of talking too much? Are we wise or are we foolish? Proverbs 10 verse 19 says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Do we choose life or destruction? Proverbs 13 and verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." A fool speaks all that comes to mind. Proverbs 29 and verse 11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards." Our words can be like traps. So So we have to be careful. Proverbs 6, verse 2 says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Proverbs 12, verse 13 says, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble." So we need to guard. We need to guard our mouth to keep our soul from trouble. Proverbs 21 and verse 23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." So with all that said, let us remember the words of Paul and Peter. Apostle Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And Peter said in 1 Peter 3, 10 and 11, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." And in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So as God would speak, if we're going to choose to speak, let us make sure we're speaking the truth. Mentality to be more ready to hear can be applied not only to spiritual things, but secular things, but more importantly, spiritual things. Talking too much can lead us down the road to speaking foolish things. So when it's time to learn, let us listen. Too often we as people don't really want to listen to what others have to say. We want to be heard. We're the ones that want to be heard. We want others to listen to us. The attitude is, I'm right about this, so you need to listen to me. The attitude is, you need to understand what I'm saying. The attitude is, you just don't know the Bible like I do, so you need to listen to me. The attitude is, I've been a Christian for this many years, so I know the Bible better than you. Is that the attitude we should have, is the question. Ecclesiastes 5, beginning in verse 1, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." So we need to be more ready to hear. There is a time to speak, but let it not be all the time. We should always have the attitude that new Christians are to have. So we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I say the attitude that new Christians are to have. There is a time that we are to be full grown and have more knowledge, but we should have this attitude that new Christians have. In 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." We should always have the attitude to grow. If we think that we already know the Word of God and everything it has to say, then we're not going to continue to grow. We're going to become stagnant, and we're not going to go anywhere. We shouldn't have the attitude, "Well, I don't have to study the Word of God every day. I already know what it says. I don't need to follow along when someone is preaching God's Word. I already know what it says." If this is our attitude, then we are definitely not like the Bereans. Acts 17, verse 11, Paul said, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." So does our faith increase by hearing or talking? Romans 10, verse 17, Paul said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." If we don't first listen, and I mean listen to understand, we will come to the wrong conclusions. Too often people are thinking about what they are going to say next instead of actually listening to the person and then think about what was said and then respond. Have any of us done that before? Have we been thinking about what we're going to respond versus listening to what the person is saying? Even if we are good listeners, we can always be better. Being attentive listeners allows us to learn. So let's look at the example of Ezra reading law in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, in context 1 through 8, we're just going to read verses 1 through 3. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So if we're not attentive to the speaker, whoever that may be, we will never learn. Even if who we are listening to is speaking falsely, we still should be attentive to what is being said. We can still learn something from false teachers as well. We learn that they are a false teacher. So we must be very attentive and careful listeners. This first requires us to understand the law. To identify a false teacher, we have to understand what the Word of God says so we can recognize it when we hear it. We will also believe lies if we are not first good listeners and understand the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians here, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Let us always be ready to listen and hear those that are speaking. We might just learn something we don't know, or we may actually understand we are wrong about something. Many choose to act knowledgeable and speak ignorance. In Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28, it says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." So we must learn to tame our speech. We must learn to tame this tongue that we have. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. James said, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." We must allow God to guide our speech. We must look to our Lord and His Word on how we are to use this instrument that is full of deadly poison. Speaking the wrong words also subverts the hearers. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 24, it says, "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." We must be careful hearers and make sure people tell us the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Apostle Paul told Timothy here, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study or be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, and they will increase unto more ungodliness." Many today think they are knowledgeable on certain spiritual matters, but they have not rightly divided the word of truth to understand the will of God. This is one reason why we must be knowledgeable on the word of God, so we don't fall into the trap of believing someone that may be falsely teaching. Brethren that do this are to be exposed. 2 Timothy, continuing on, in verse 17, Paul continued on and said, "And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." We have some brethren today that think that what Paul did here shouldn't be done. Paul pointed out by name false teachers. This mentality is not only contrary to what the Apostle Paul taught, it is against what our Lord taught. Mark chapter 8 and verse 15, just one verse. He not only pointed this out as a group of individuals, but also as an individual, a religious group here. In Mark 8 and verse 15, Jesus said, and he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," this religious group, "and of the leaven of Herod." So he called out not only an individual person here, but a group at the same time. We must do the same today. We are required to expose false teachers. This is an example of when we are not to remain silent, but are to speak as the oracles of God. So do we want to say something that would cause someone to stumble? Romans 14 and verse 23, Apostle Paul said, "And he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And we're talking about things here that are liberties, neither commands or condemnations here. Things that are neither here nor there. These are liberties. And also Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 29, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." We must have great concern of what we say, how we say it, especially to those that are young in the faith. We could easily sway them to go down the wrong path. This puts a great responsibility on all of us, but it especially puts a great responsibility on parents to teach their children correctly so that they will know the truth and the truth will make them free. John 8, verse 32. Generally speaking, if children are taught correctly from a young age, then they should not depart from these teachings. Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart." We also must be hearers that desire the whole story. We get part of the story, we're going to most likely come to the wrong conclusion. So we have to get the whole story. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 says, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Some don't listen first, gather all the facts, and then speak. Some don't really have faith in what they are saying. Some will speak before they even listen. And that shouldn't be the case. Let's look at an example here of John chapter 13, beginning in verse 36, regarding Peter. John 13, beginning in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Peter didn't really know what he was saying. He didn't have faith that that is actually what he would do. Sadly, we got brethren today that did the exact same thing. They said, I would lay not my life down for thee, but they didn't. So it's something we've got to think very carefully on when we speak. If we are truly going to lay down our life, we better follow it up. Many get defensive when being corrected. No one likes to be wrong. I don't think anyone likes to be wrong on something or likes to have to be corrected. It's not something that's joyful, but is necessary for us to be faithful. We must be able to take correction and instruction with the right attitude. Proverbs 10 and verse 17 says, He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Proverbs 12 and verse 1, Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish or foolish. Proverbs 15 and verse 10, Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. So should we hate reproof? Absolutely not. We should want reproof. And let's take a look and consider what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If we are people that do not take correction, then we are people that are not willing to repent. To be Christians, we have to be able to look back at our past and consider what we have done that is wrong and be willing to repent. Too many accept false reports without investigating. They hear false reports, but they don't look into it enough. We should not be a people that make false accusations on others. We should be a people that make righteous judgments. So let us consider the accusations on Paul before Felix. In Acts chapter 24, beginning in verse 1, it says, And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee. I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency of few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow,
and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Accusations are only good if you have proof. So what was Paul's response? Beginning in verse 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Again, we must have proof if we're going to make accusations on anyone. So let us consider our actions for church discipline. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. Jesus said, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." We need to make sure that the fewest individuals know about any matter. But we are to go through the proper steps that every word may be established. We also must not blindly accept all that we hear. If we blindly accept all that we hear, we are going to go down the wrong path. Proverbs 14, verse 15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." Just like that we are not to blindly accept all that we hear, our faith is also based on evidence. The Bible teaches that we are to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Many today put their faith in some man or preacher and hold that man upon a pedestal. This allows us to be deceived by men. We should not be a respecter of persons. We need to have the mindset to make righteous judgments. If the apostles could be wrong on things, and at times they were and had to be corrected, how much more should we guard against listening to a man today, no matter who that may be? When someone says, "Believe me, I will not direct you in the wrong direction," that should be a red flag for us to do more investigating. This includes elders. This includes preachers. This includes our friends. It even includes our parents. We should be able to put our faith in elders and preachers, our friends, our parents. But let us not be blind faith. Let us not have this blind faith. Our faith is not to come from any man, but only from the Word of God. That's where our faith comes from. So let us have the attitude that James wrote about regarding our hearing and speaking. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of this own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We see here how all this works together in this last text. We are not only to be hearers, but a doer of the word. So let us be more ready to hear so that we can come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. So are we seeking God's will or our own will? We can only make one of two choices. It's either God or mammon. Those are the two choices we have. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, they gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So this is the will of God. So what hinders you to be baptized? If you have been baptized, but have gone back to do the things of the world, what hinders you to come back to do the will of God? If we can assist you in any ways, please come as we stand and as we sing.